The town returned from the international break with a trip to North London as Tottenham Hotspur are the opponents on Saturday afternoon. Alongside me to preview a huge Premier League game is the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe, and we've got town fan Dan Barrett-Davis back for the game. Gents, ready to get back to some football?
Yep, get this international.
Let's get over it.
We'll preview the game after this intro. Hello everyone, welcome along to another episode of the Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. As I said before the intro, we are previewing Tottenham Hotspur versus Luton Town Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. If you haven't got a ticket for the away end already, you're out of luck. Already sold out and no UK TV coverage for this one, so you'll need radios or, dare I say, other means. If you want to watch this game, Jimbo, we went into the international break in the bottom three, and as by magic, for the second international break in succession, we haven't played a game and we come out of the bottom three. It's all right, this can we have an international break every week?
Yeah, lovely stuff, isn't it? It's a result we wanted, probably not the severity of result we wanted for Forest, but it's awfully nice to be out of that bottom three and potentially looking up, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. I mean, you know, you 9 games left, so in the final quarter of the season now, destiny's in our own hands. Whether it's by points, deductions, results, or however it's happened, who gives a shit, really? Ultimately, we're in control of our own destiny with 2 months of the season left. Everyone would have taken this position.
Exactly that. I think we all spoke at the start of the season, and I remember you asking us all, where do we finish? I said 17th straight away, because that's what I want. That's achievement to me, because it's our first year up. Obviously it's been a huge gap and we took a little bit of time to get used to that. But like you say, 9 games to go, whatever happens with Forest and Everton and points deductions and whatnot, we can't control that. All we can do is control the remaining 9 games that we're playing in, starting at Spurs on Saturday. Let's just go for it. What have we got to lose? Really, what have we got to lose?
Yeah, no sympathy with regards to the points deductions here. You know, what was it they used to say? Chat shit, get banged, we'll break rules and get banged as well. You know,
we'll spend too much money, get points took off you.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so you know that's their problem, not ours. Ultimately, as Dan said, you know, all we got to concentrate on is ourselves. And here we are, 9 games left. I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we will win all 9 games, but the fact of the matter is, if we win all 9 games, we're in the Premier League next season. And you know, Rob said, hasn't he, that he wants to take it down to the last 5, be in the mix with 5 to go. Well, someone's going to have to go seriously wrong with us and seriously good with someone else for us not to be in the mix with 5 to go. So we're in exactly the position we want, with almost 2-3 hits ahead of us now.
Yeah, it's exactly what we'd have taken at the beginning of the season. It just, you always, as a fan or somebody watches football, thinking what could have been though, couldn't you? And maybe what could have been, if we hadn't had such an injury crisis, was maybe an even more comfortable gap. You never know. It may not have happened, but they were playing so well until, you know, there was the Brighton game and the Newcastle game, and everybody was really buoyed by that. And then suddenly the injuries started happening, and then it was a tidal wave of injuries, and now it's a full-blown crisis, isn't it? And then you just think what probably could have been, if, you know, particularly the likes of Sambi was still playing, because he was really coming into his own. But, you know, this is where we are. And we'd have taken any means really for it to be in Luton's hands. And since we last were podcasting, I mean, that's one hell of a goal from Berry in the end of it, really. In the shake-up since, you're thinking, oh, it's a great way for him to score. It was great for him, great point and everything, but it seems very, very valuable now.
Yeah, it did at the time. It kept us in the mix at the time. We all knew Forest were getting a points deduction at the time. What we didn't know was that it was going to be 4 points. I think everyone thought it was going to be at least that. And it turned out it would have been at least that. It would have been six had they not have been given 2 points off for good behaviour.
Which is nonsense, but you know, we've talked about
that. Yeah, we've talked about that in the deep dive. If you've not watched that yet, you'll see all of our opinions on that. So we'll kind of turn it back to football. In many ways, though, if we do stay up, the fact that all of these injuries has kind of meant that we're only just going to stay up might just mean that there's so much natural progression next season that we'll, you know, stay up even easier next season. And that's a great place to be, because this FFP or PSR and everything else, it's not going away. It's not suddenly going to stop at the end of this season. There are more clubs in the mix, and you're probably looking at another 2 or 3 years of this nonsense before, you know, the league balances itself out, because it's done over a 3-year cycle. So teams are only really realising this season the severity of it. So it's going to be 3 more years before the ones that are taking the piss out of it actually end their sort of piss-taking cycle. So it's a great time to be in the Premier League, and that's what makes these 9 games so much more important. We know already that if they get promoted, Leicester are going to be with a points deduction. So we're already going to start next season, should we stay in the Premier League, ahead of one club. It's all sort of working out well. The fact that we're doing this sustainably, and ironically, Dan, fans of the opposition that we're playing in this game on Saturday are highly critical of their owner and his tight purse strings. But who's going to benefit the most from this down the line? Tottenham Hotspur. So it's quite fitting that this is the game on Saturday in many ways.
I think you've got a case there for two very well-run football clubs. Obviously, Daniel Levy's had his critics, and most of them have been his own football supporters. And I get it. I really do. I think, you know, they've got a stadium that befits a Real Madrid type team when they've got Tottenham on it. And I don't mean that to disrespectfully for Tottenham. I'm just trying to gauge, you know, Real Madrid, you know, do you know what I mean? I know what I'm saying by that, and I'm going to get slated in the comments. I know that. But it has, it's a magnificent stadium. It was built, obviously it cost £1 billion, was it?
Was it that much?
Something like that.
Wow.
I think it was. Yeah. And, you know, as a result of that, they've sort of had to hang on to the top six by a thread. That I think they had the same squad for 4 or 5 years as well. So I understand that, but give it a couple more years, I think you'll start seeing the fruits of the flavour from that. And I think Spurs could be a real force in time to come if they continue to run the way they are being. Because he is, I'm told he's an utter bastard to do business with. I don't know who has done business with him, but I hear that he's very difficult. But that's going to benefit Spurs, especially with all this financial fair play. I don't know all the abbreviations. That's your department. It's too many of them. We have loads of them at work. I don't know half of them. but like you say, as well as us, you know, with 2020 running the club as stringent as we have, they've got the critics. So I don't understand that either, to be honest. Because how can you argue with 4 promotions in 9 years and getting to the big time and then spending what you can to stay there? They've done it really well, and we're a slightly smaller example, I think, of Spurs doing that. But the two facing together in one of the best stadiums in the world, bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on indeed, yeah, absolutely. I mean, tight purse strings or not, you know, they're not on a shoestring or anything like that. You know, they did sign James Maddison for the better part of, you know, what would it be, 40 million or...
It'd have been double that if he had another year on his contract at Leicester and they weren't getting relegated. Yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely. You know, they signed him. We now know that they signed Brennan Johnson for £47.5 million. He's also key to this whole shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's ironic that he's playing on Saturday or potentially playing on Saturday afternoon as well. They spent on Mickey van der Ven. They've obviously gone and brought the goalkeeper, Pedro Porro, left back. They've signed a lot of players, but he just signs them cleverly. Of course, this is all sort of factored in because they coined in a shitload of dough for Harry Kane. But yeah, you know, although he runs a tight ship and a ship that's never going to fall foul of this PSR, still got some mighty good players, and for 20 minutes at our place in particular, we felt the full force of it, thankfully, without the ball hitting the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to fall foul of the PSR, as far as I'm aware, but didn't their owner, Joe Lewis, get indicted by one of the big agencies in America, the FBI?
Yeah.
One of them. And so there's some maybe trouble further down the line. I don't know the full details of it, but...
Don't know how that works.
Yeah, but maybe they'd have to sell it or something. But yeah, I mean, they've obviously got he's a billionaire and they've obviously got a lot of money if they spent £1 billion on a stadium stuff. Mm. So I don't anticipate them falling foul of that anytime soon. And they're about to sell their star asset, obviously. But, you know, they're up there. They've got a chance for Champions League and it's going to be a really tough one. I mean, it's almost, yeah, like you say, you don't want to use these words, do you? And I know that football people hate them, like the players and managers hate them, but it is like a free hit, really. And we've got to really assess what, I think the thing to for us to assess is how many players we're getting back, really, and what can we do with them?
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to that in a minute. Let's just sort of get around the free hit idea, right? Of course, it's not a free hit in terms of the fact there's only 9 games left. However, you look at our fixture list, there are 6 that are going to define our season. There are 3 that aren't. This is one of the 3 that isn't. So if you get anything from this one, or indeed these 3, Arsenal and Man City being the other 2, then you're taking them on bonus grounds. The points that we need to stay up are going to be earned by and large in the other 6. So that's why, you know, we use the term free hit. But of course, the players are perfectly entitled to think that they can win at Tottenham, and I hope that they do. I guess the first thing you look at when you look at Tottenham is the threats up front, and Son Heung-min would be the immediate one that you need to keep tabs on.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't realise actually till the other day, I had a little look at Tottenham's records and stuff. He's 6th in their all-time goal scorers. And he's not a centre-forward, is he? He's sort of an outside forward, if you like. But he's a tremendous footballer. He really is. And I was reading they were linked with somebody, I think it was Sado Berino a few years ago, you'll like this. They were linked with him and they were going to pay like 25 million and Stoke or West Brom or whatever club he was at the time wanted an extra 10. So they said no and they went for Son for 22, 25.
Amazing.
And I don't know where Berino's playing now, somewhere in the sand, I think. But yeah, no, Son's a tremendous, tremendous footballer. I was actually a bit like, when he walked out with Kenilworth Road, I thought, oh, please keep him quiet. Hope he has an off day. Thankfully, he did by his own standards, I'd say. But yeah, he's just a quality footballer to watch. And you can't like dislike a player like that. You nothing but admiration for someone like him because of how good he is. Plays with a smile on his face, scores brilliant goals. And he's part of the reason Spurs have been around in and around the top 4 for as long as they have while he's been there.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. I mean, this is the first lot that we played at Kenilworth Road of the sort of top level proportion, wasn't it? And so therefore, he would have been the first real top level player that we kind of come up against. Another one they spent big on was Richarlison, who's been out injured going into the international break, but he was in and on around the Brazil bench on Saturday against England. I couldn't quite tell if he was actually on the bench or just there because he's part of the squad. But either way, if he's in there, his injury seems to have cleared up. Obviously, he missed that absolute sitter at Kenilworth Road. If you want to keep on repeating that on Saturday, Richarlison, be my guest, please. But ultimately, since then, he's into double figures for goals when it took him an absolute age to get going. So, yeah, we need to stop him. It looks like Son will be on the left, Richarlison through the middle. So hopefully that's Mengi's job, but whoever's job it is, he needs stopping and not given that look at goal that he had at Kenilworth Road, for example.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, that miss at Kenilworth Road was particularly dreadful, but I actually thought he had quite a decent game.
Yeah.
When we were assessing that game and the first 20 minutes, which were just a blitz, weren't they? And we were bloody hell. Now we're in the Premier League because it was their speed of passing, their quickness, their one touch, everything. And he shielded the ball and held it up really well at the time. It's just that he went on and did, and there was that terrible miss and he's sort of remembered for that, really. But you wouldn't mind too many players that had as good a game as he did for somebody that supposedly had such a terrible afternoon. But yeah, he has picked up. He's found the net a few times. It would be handy if he's not quite ready, wouldn't it? It might be nice for the shoe to be on the other foot to some extent for that side of things.
Well, it would be nice because Timo Werner's probably the replacement, and that's going from caviar to in food, really, isn't it? you know, that so that would be handy. You can pick out an awful lot of threats for this Tottenham side, Dan. They're a side that, the much like Luton under Nathan Jones, their fullbacks are huge in this team. So you can make an easy case for them being key. You can also make a case for the holding midfielder, Bissouma, being important. If you want to dive again and get yourself sent off, mate, again, be my guest.
Yeah.
But really, the string puller is James Maddison, isn't he?
And, I was hoping you'd say that.
Without Marvellous in the side, who knows if we have Sambi in the side. That's the position that's causing us the most problems at the moment, because we don't have that natural defensive midfielder. You look at, you think back a few games, Kevin De Bruyne tore us a new arsehole. You know, Eze at Crystal Palace before he got all Billy Big Bollocks, he was doing the same thing. Morgan Gibbs-White was having too much of an impact against Notts Forest before the international break. That position there, we're struggling with big time. And he's about as good as you get in that position, isn't he, Maddie? So
yeah,
gonna have to do something to slow him down if possible.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to beat the defensive midfielder brain into Ross Barkley even more, because I'm assuming Barkley will play there and do that position, because I think given what we've got left, which great respects to the squad, isn't a lot, and we are down to the bare bones without picking out of the youth team and the development squad as well, which isn't necessarily a bad thing but not ideal. With the greatest respects to them guys. But yeah, he's a special player, isn't he? And like I said earlier, Spurs only got him for 40 million. It'd have been double that if Leicester weren't getting relegated and he had a bit more than a year left on his deal. It just tells you how good he actually is. He is a brilliant player. How he's not getting in the England side is another question altogether.
Well, it's like I should be in the England 11 game of football this
week. Almost.
Maddison, Doughty, Barkley.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are probably others that I've forgotten as well. I mean, looking at the fact that Lewis Dunk got in there on Saturday, Ted Mengi could be in there as well.
But I mean, Maddison as well, the game at the Kenny, one of the best individual performances I've seen ever, to be honest. Yeah. He just ran everything. He was absolutely superb. The ball stuck to his feet like glue. How he wasn't mashed into the Oak Stand for their goal, I'll never know, because it was just sheer brilliance. And we're going to have to be at our best to try and stop him. We really are.
Yeah, they definitely need to stay awake. Obviously, their goal came from a short court, very quickly taken corner.
Yeah.
And that, you know, these teams do. Let's just finish on Tottenham. They're good at home, won 7 of their last 9, but a lot of their wins come quite late on in the game, which is generally where we're at our best in the game. So if we can stay with them for 65, 70 minutes, we might be able to ride that last 20 minutes storm. It might not necessarily be the impossible task is the wrong word, because I don't think anyone's seen it as that, the gigantic task that the two away games that follow will be, with no disrespect meant to Tottenham at all. It's just the way that their games seem to match up.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to stay in it till 60 minutes, though. That's
always got to put a negative on it.
That's the top. We've all seen it with our own eyes.
It's stopped giving away two silly goals a game early on.
Yeah, that'd be useful if we didn't do that.
We need to carry on stopping that.
Yeah, let's bring it back to Luton then. My indications and sources tell me that Ted Mengi's okay, and it's nothing like this blown up out of proportion thing that people are making of it. So I'm working along the lines that he'll be back. I'm also working along the lines that Gabe Osho will be fine. And I'm working along the lines that Sambi Lokonga will be okay. We're still not completely sure about Eli Adebayo. We'll leave James to ask Rob that at his press conference nearer the game. Obviously, we're doing this even earlier than normal in light of Easter this weekend. So I've got Mengi back, I've got Osho back, and I've got Sambi back, and they all go straight into the side. Back three of, in whichever order you want, Osho, Mengi, Burke, and then, of course, Sambi. Pelle was brilliant against Notts Forest.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pell. You've got to play the next game anyway, because Sambi can't play the Arsenal game. It's got to be Sambi and Ross in this game. Sambi against Tottenham. I mean, come on, it's got to happen, hasn't it? Because obviously he's on loan from Arsenal, even more fired up for this one than he normally would be. And I want to see him do some damage.
Well, it's been a while as well. I'd like to just see him back on the pitch, because if he is, it makes this 9-game run a hell of a lot more confidence-inducing, I would say. You get the sense it's going to go down to the wire anyway, but with a quality player in the side like Sambi doing what he was doing just before he got injured, which was bloody everything, really, wasn't it? Yeah. He was great in defence. That block was something special. And then spraying 60-yard balls to get Luton on the attack is a thing that obviously Barkley can do, but if they close Barkley down, then there's less options for it. But if you've got two players that can do it, then it's a dangerous thing. So, yeah, I mean, you know, given the choice a couple of weeks ago, if we could have Sambi back or Eli back, it's no disrespect to Eli, but it's like the goals weren't the problem, were they? It was everything else. So you'd want Sambi.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The only reason we'd want Eli back really is to give Morris a rest, so yeah, he's not playing every minute of every game. The other person who I think, by and large, from what I'm understanding, who will be fine is Alfie Doughty. Mm. He'll be important because this goalkeeper gets himself penned in very, very easily from set pieces, doesn't he? Ever since Ake scored that FA Cup goal, someone pens him in and it's just carnage at set pieces. So Alfie's set pieces are going to be a massive factor in this game.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we all know from the stats how good Luton have been at set pieces as well. And Doughty's left foot, when he's on it, and I'll be honest, he hasn't been on it last few games for me. But when he's on it, you know, we're dangerous. We're as good as anybody at set pieces. And Spurs are going to have to watch for that. I'm sure they'll have a plan. Hopefully we can nick a penalty or two out of it. If Alfie's fit, brilliant, because we haven't really got anybody else down that left side that can really do a job as good as Alf, now that Giles has decided to cry off. So hopefully he's back, hopefully he's fit, and hopefully he can be at his best and hurt Spurs a little bit, and dare I say, we can nick something.
Yeah, exactly, whatever. Yeah. I mean... Yeah, not being at his best, absolutely knackered though, had 2 weeks off to recover, and hopefully we see the Alfie that we saw sort of turn of the year where he was particularly impressive and very, very good. We'll need him to be, because obviously his direct opposition in this game will be both Brennan Johnson and Pedro Porro, who are going to be coming the other way. So if we can get Alfie going that way, we might keep one of them a little bit quiet. If Sambi's back, we're now in a position whereby we've got a few options in those more forward positions. Mm. We presume Kabore will play right wing back. So that leaves the likes of Chio, Clark, Chong, Woodrow, Morris, Townsend. I mean, Townsend against his former club potentially. That's six options for those two spots in behind Morris. All of a sudden, it's looking a little bit rosier, whereas we've gone into the international, and I forgot to mention Berry, and I should mention Berry after happened against Forest. Absolutely. We went into sort of the international break with Berry as the last sort of senior sailor off the boat. All of a sudden, we've now got a few options, if I'm right with Sambi being fine again. Things are starting to look up a little bit in that area as well. So... Maybe it isn't all doom and gloom. Maybe we can nick something from this game.
Yeah, I mean, providing players are back, then that would be the outlook of it, I think, because take the Bournemouth game, for example. When Bournemouth got up ahead of steam, there was no options to change it. There just weren't any. There's nothing off the bench you could do. Maybe Townsend, perhaps, but other than that, there wasn't much else. Similarly, if you have to go chase something, there's nothing. So they're giving their all, and, you know, if you take Doughty, for example, absolutely dead on his feet, and then he goes and does his hamstring. Hopefully it's just a very minor thing, because we'll miss his set pieces and stuff like that. That's one of the major weapons Luton have anyway, but you go into a big ground and one of the top six sides as it currently stands, and then you've got to get everything you can out of set pieces and free kicks, corners, and the like. So, it all hinges really on how many players can come back. But if the dream scenario turns out like you just said, then you would be a lot more confident.
Yeah, and you could also be more confident because going into the international break against Fulham, Mickey van der Ven went lame, didn't he? Seemed to clutch his hamstring in that. If it wasn't in that game, it was the game before, and he missed the Fulham game. I must admit, all of these Tottenham games do tend to and blend into one. But they were absolutely terrible in that Fulham game, like absolutely terrible in that Fulham game. They were getting called out from here, there and everywhere. They were a disaster. That in itself is an issue, because generally when professional footballers are absolutely terrible and they know they're terrible, there's a reaction. I'm hoping they've forgotten they were terrible in the 2 weeks since, which might have happened because they've all been away from the club, haven't they? They've all gone and represented their countries and things. So it could happen. But if he's out, Van de Ven, because I thought he was, him and Romero, probably the best defensive partnership we've come up against this season. I know there's all the talk about Gabriel and Saliba at Arsenal, but they didn't look great on the night.
Got three by them and all.
Those two Tottenham ones looked the absolute dog's dangly bits. And if one of them's out, I presume that'd be what Ben Davies would. Or they've got the Romanian fellow who hasn't really pulled up any trees, has he? One of those two, it's definitely an option. I'm kind of thinking, where can we get Carlton Morris in the game? Because he got no joy. Nobody got any joy out of Romero in that first game. That was just a masterclass of defending. So if we've got Van de Ven out of the game, who is very, very quick, which might nullify Chio's. I think he's actually recorded the quickest in the league.
He has,
So that would nullify the Chio kind of threat. If we've got him out of the game, not only will we have someone less physical for Morris to go up against, we can then bring Chio's pace into the equation as well. So it'd be massive if he misses out.
It would be. I mean, in the case of Morris, I think that game at Kenilworth Road was very much part of that opening block of games where we're just sort of trying to feel out the league and see what it was all about. And Morris obviously got that goal at Brighton, but it didn't have the greatest start to the season. He's a completely different animal now, really. Whether he's been playing in the slightly reserved role behind Eli or leading the charge since Eli's been injured, then you'd fancy him to give either of those two more of a game. But definitely if Van de Ven's going to be on, then there's, you know, not 100% guarantee against counter-attacks, but it's... I didn't have Mickey van de Ven on my bingo card for the quickest player in the league, put it that way.
No, I can't say I did either. No. And obviously Kyle Walker got injured for England on Saturday, so it might be that we don't come up against him in a couple of weeks. It would be mighty handy if the other speedster at the back in this league misses out. The big difference, though, Dan, from the home game to Saturday is a certain Ross Barkley. He was obviously nowhere to be seen in the home game. He was still injured, still building up his fitness.
Yeah.
And it told. That first 20 minutes, it was just like, you know, almost fantasy football against us, really. Yeah. This time, Barkley's going to have a say in that midfield. So the Basumas of this world, would it be Pape Sarr alongside him, presumably? Or they've got Højbjerg or whoever they use alongside him. Bentancur is another option, albeit he'd been away with Uruguay this week. Whoever it is, Barkley's more equipped to cope with the physicality of that midfield. And if he can impose himself on the game like he did at a similar kind of big stadium at St. James's Park, that really would put us in with a chance of getting something out of this game, because he's that kind of guy. It's the kind of stage where showman like Ross Barkley, he's not going to get the chance to showcase his talents on the international stage. So this is as good as he's going to get. And you just get the feeling that he'll like put the shoulders and the chest out and right, let's have it. Particularly having been an ex-Chelsea against Tottenham.
Yeah, and rightly so. I think, you know, I think Barkley does enjoy the bigger games. And who doesn't want to test themselves against the best players, no matter what stage of your career you're at. I think Ross still feels he has something to prove, and the longer he doesn't get a Luton shirt, the better. And I think Saturday he will help to sort of nullify the threat in the middle from Spurs, and on and off the ball as well, because he's got a good eye for a good pass, hasn't he? He can break play up and bring others into it. And if he has to hold on to it for a bit longer than normal, we can do that. Sometimes that's frustrating, but you understand the quality of player you're facing there. And if Lekonga's back, like you say, you know, we're our own threat, really.
Yeah, no, I would agree. This is going to be a really good game to watch, actually, Jimbo, isn't it? Because they press high, we press high, they attack, we attack. I mean, this is exactly like that Newcastle fixture, isn't it? It's who scores five as opposed to the other four, really. I would imagine it's like, I mean, if this is 0-0, then something's gone seriously tits up somewhere along the line, because I just can't see it. I know the home game was really, really tight, but we was in that defend at all costs and try and get something on the break. And obviously they went down to 10 men, which kind of nullified all of their attacking threat, things like that. Barring something like that happening this time, I just don't see how this is a low scoring game. So if Barkley can be magical and really shine, and we can get the Chios and the Chongs and the Morris into this world, they're going to have space to work, aren't they? Tottenham do give opposition space to work. I think back to the Tottenham game that I remember most this season was the most bizarre game you're ever going to see against Chelsea, where they were getting dicked time and time and time again, and they just sent more and more men forward, and then they were getting more and more men sent off, and they sent more and more men forward, and you're like, what the fuck's going on here? So this is going to take, I mean, Rob's used that sort of controlled chaos theory all season, hasn't he? There's going to be chaos both sides of the halfway line here. It's just going to be a cracking game to watch.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it after that description. I was anyway, because I'm not a fan of international break whatsoever, other than if it gave people the chance to get back, and hopefully there was some cryotherapy gaffes all over Luton's training ground.
Don't need one. It's been bloody freezing cold anyway. Just stand outside for 10 minutes.
That's very true. It's been very cold. Yeah, hopefully it's, I mean, that's going to be the best bet. You're not going to hold them to, what, try and keep them. You're not going to get a clean sheet, basically, are you? I mean, we've said it for very many games now, and this is not the one that's going to happen in. So, if it's a bit end-to-end, it could benefit Luton. The only difference is Luton had virtually their full-strength side up when they went to Newcastle, and that's why that happened. And they had injury problems of their own, didn't they? So I wouldn't necessarily subscribe to the fact that it would go Luton's way if it was that back and forth. But what other option you got at the moment? You've got to go for it. Like you say, if we're going to treat it as a free hit, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you've got two sides for whom their policy, their theory is attack is the best form of defence. So, you know, just the logical theory of that would suggest that there's going to be goals. If you're a neutral, and of course we're not on this podcast, but if you are a neutral, it's the place, it's the game to watch, isn't it? It's going to be an absolute crackerjack of a game. Ah, let's be fair, all of our games are good to watch. You know, they generally average at least 5 goals, and can't really see this one being any different. So yeah, 2 attacking sides, kind of a free hit for us. Will they feel the pressure of trying to get into the top 4? They did at Fulham, didn't they? They absolutely stunk the place out at Fulham.
I suppose the one thing Luton got going for them is there's a phrase for that, isn't it, on their side?
Against Spursy.
It's very Spursy. So if they could be as Spursy as possible, then that would be a massive benefit.
I want 3rd place in a 2-horse race, Spursy. That's what I want. Just Saturday. Just for Saturday.
But they were, though, weren't they? I mean, they were atrocious against
Villa. Yeah, the week before against Villa, they absolutely tore them a new arsehole. Mm. It was, you know, it's bizarre how you get two different teams away from home as well. And Villa aren't any mugs. They're one of the best sides in the league, aren't they? Fulham are a decent side. Spurs are supposed to be one of the best sides. And, you know, they absolutely wallop Villa on their own patch, which nobody's done. And then get walloped at Fulham. It's just, can we have the Fulham Spurs, please?
Well, yeah, it might just be that they're a team that plays up to the better sides, because
could be.
I think back to earlier in the season, they only beat Sheffield United in like the 100th minute. Yeah, I mean, obviously Sheffield United time wasted for the other 99. We get all of that.
They didn't.
Well, I know it shocks you. But even so, last minute winner against them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't always sort of perform like you would expect. They beat Crystal Palace recently at home 3-1, but again, 3 goals in the last 15 minutes in that game, having gone a goal down.
Mm.
Their record is good against the lower sides, but when you delve between just the bare results and the surface of it, there is a sort of underbelly that makes you wonder if they can crack, or we can crack them.
Of course they can. Of course they can. I mean, let's not underestimate Spurs. They've got a terrific squad. Lots of brilliant players in there. But like you say, there's no reason why Luton can't go there on Saturday and get something. I'll be honest, I think it's unlikely we will, but there's no reason why we can't just go and have a go and try and get something, because you can catch Spurs on an off day, and it gets proven time again every year.
That seems like as good a place as any to get our score predictions going then. And as you're quite confident that we're going to get something,
No, I don't think we're going to get something.
Oh, well, we're about to find out what you think, because you can go first with the score predictions.
Oh, can't James go first? No, I think it's going to be 2-3-1 Spurs, I'm afraid.
I mean, we're only doing one score prediction here.
Oh, I'll go 3-1 then, just to play safe, because I want to win this prediction league that we haven't written down properly yet.
We've all only got one, haven't we?
So are we all joined up?
We're all joined up.
When did you get one right?
When did I get one?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I did.
I remember because I got the Everton one, didn't I? I've never forgot that.
you did get the Everton. I can't remember which one I got, but I did definitely
can upset half the Merseyside with it.
I think it was Crystal Palace at home I got. 2-1.
Well done, yeah.
I definitely got one.
Yeah, you did, yeah. I can't remember which one it was,
but no, it
definitely wasn't the 115-0 one anyway, was it?
It wasn't the 4-4 at Newcastle.
That was one good thing about it. Your score prediction for this game?
Well, I know you've been very optimistic on all this, and so I'm obviously going to have to take the flak here, but I just don't think that Luton are going to get anything from this game. But I do subscribe to you, it's going to be a high-scoring game. And so, see, it's going to be a free hit. I'm going to say 5-4 to Tottenham.
I mean, you look at the amount of times we've conceded four, you know, you're not along the realm of possibility. I mean, had you said 4-3, I didn't think you'd be a million miles from it. It's already happened twice against us this season.
To be fair, I was flip-flopping. I was going to give them 5-3, but then at the last minute, I bottled it and went 5-4 to make it even easier.
Can't remember who it was against, but I'm almost certain they've drawn a game 3-3, having conceded late on this season.
Possibly.
And that's what's going to happen on Sunday. On Saturday. It's going to be a 3-3 draw. Town are going to come out of the international break. They're going to get a point closer to Everton, hopefully a point further away from Notts Forest, and a point closer to Brentford, and more importantly, a point closer to whatever the number is that we need, 34, 35, 36, whatever it is. Get a point closer to that. 3-3 for me, 3-1 Tottenham for Dan. 5-4. He's going for a right old barnstormer, he is.
We're not that shit at the back. We'll probably gift them two of those.
Hopefully they are. And
well, yeah.
Yeah, so 5-4 for James, 3-3 for me, 3-1 for Dan. What about yourselves? Plenty of time to get your score predictions in for this one. Let us have them, as always. Any correct answers, we will read them out and give you a shout out in the review podcast, which will be out on or around Easter Monday, the Monday after the game. That is it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks to James and Dan for joining me in finally previewing another game of football. It feels like it's been a long time. It has been a long time with that international break.
That's for me.
But as I said right at the start, if we have an international break every week and the town keep on moving up a place without playing, we'll all settle for it. But that's not going to happen. No more international breaks. Thank the Lord. So Saturday afternoon, Tottenham Hotspur away. Should be a good one. So thanks to these two. Thanks for you for watching or listening, however it is that you've consumed this podcast. Thanks as always to the Hightown Club for staging our studio, to Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for their intro music that you've heard at the start of this podcast and are about to hear again, and to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. Until next time, which will be a review of this Tottenham Hotspur game. Come on, you Hatters.
I love this town. You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're Luton people.